Blog Talk Radio.
Beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. And we are so fortunate today. We have a special guest who has joined us, and I will bring her on the line now.
Hi there. This
Hello,
is Karen.
This is Karen. Hi.
How are you?
Everyone,
How
I would like I'm great. Blessed and highly favored. Thank you. Everybody, all of our listeners, our audience, I would like to introduce you to Sister Karen White of First Baptist Murfreesboro. She's a part of the marriage ministry, and she sings in the choir, and she coordinates and oversees the Vacation Bible School. She's just a righteous, redeemed, renaissance woman. Amen. So we're just very grateful to have her here today. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great.
Looking
forward to talking with you.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, but it's been a whirlwind of a day wrapping up things and teaching, as you know, because you are an educator yourself, and kind of just getting things streamlined as we close out the year. So morning is evening, and evening is morning to me, but good evening. So I would like to just start out. And first of all, let me say our introductory song, When I Can't Find Words to Say, that was you and your husband singing that song, correct, Sister Karen?
Correct. Yes, it was back in the days when we had a music ministry called Brotherly Love. We did that song.
That is gorgeous.
Thank you.
It really speaks to my heart, and I'm sure the hearts of our listeners. Again, whether single or married, we're going to address both populations today and give blessings over individuals in both states and situations. So before we get started, we're going to actually end up closing our broadcast with prayer today. Usually we open it up, but I do want to mention some particular situations that have been weighing heavily on my heart. I know there have been increases in divorce filings and separations and domestic violence. We're going to talk about just fostering and generating peace in your home today and worship. Is for married couples and for families, and how critical and important that is to the cohesion and the unity of the family and the positive environment in the home. Certainly also want to lift up in prayer the increasing numbers for the coronavirus, the COVID-19. We praise God for the recoveries. We know there have been several recoveries, and that, you know, those of us who are listening and well and our families are well, we just thank God for his protection. There's been a 15%, the current unemployment rate is 15%. There's been a spike in that, so we just pray for God's provision as well. So we'll have prayer at the end of our episode today. But Sister Karen, thank you so much for being on the show. And you know, we spoke last week, and I was telling you just how much you have blessed me, and in terms of the encouraging words that you've spoken, but also just the testimony that you've given about your marriage, and just the skills and tools and strategies that you and your husband have utilized over the years. Tapping into the Word of God and making Jesus Christ central to your marriage, your 20-plus year marriage. So I just, you know, felt compelled, and I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me about having you on this show to just share with us just your insight and your wisdom, you know, as it relates to this particular area of life. So I kind of wanted to start out just asking you, what do you feel over the course of your own marriage and just in others that you've spoken with or ministered to, are the key or core elements that contribute to a happy, healthy, loving, Christian, God-fearing home?
Right. I would say, me not being an expert, just living out my marriage, walking out my marriage. I think the key words, you may have even answered it for me, being that I think you said a God-fearing home. I really feel that because my husband and I have the same core values, that has made my home not perfect in any way, but more cohesive. I think that right there is the thing. I think that, you know, as we're young and then we're dating, I think what helps is to make sure that you have the same core principles, because if you don't, even have different ideas about what's okay to how it's okay to raise your child. Will you take a young man, a young son, when he's 16, will you take him to get drunk, or not even drunk, but would you even take him to get a drink versus that's not something that both of you agree that should happen? So I think it's being cohesive with your common values. And, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that about the cohesion and consensus and the unity, because many times, and Pastor spoken to this when he talked about partnership and praying over the, you know, ideal partner, best fit for you. He calls it spiritual DNA. And, you know, just ensuring that you're prayerful. So in terms of, you know, with whom you keep company and, you know, explore relationship possibility, that man and that woman, that male and that female, just seem to blend. And there, you know, is just a sense of, you know, where you converge and, you know, you meet, you have a like-mindedness. So I'm glad that you said that, because it's so critical. I think sometimes we try to push something, and clearly they're incompatible ideals, spiritually, you know, not on the same wavelength, and then that becomes problematic, you know, in the marriage. And so I'm glad that you shared that. And I would say that's for whether you're in college dating or you're 50, 60 years old, you know, meeting somebody, there still has to be that parallel there.
That's right.
And so
may I call you Shay?
Shay? So, yeah, for our listeners, I go by Sister Shay at the church. So, yes, it's fine.
All righty. I'm going to call you Shay then. I think it's also important that when you're dating, again, like you said, at any age, it's important if that you don't do what is called missionary dating. As you said before, ignoring the fact that you two do not have like principles, a set of moral compass that are alike, that your moral compasses are different. Don't ignore that and think you can change the other person, because I don't think that we should be in the business of trying to change other people, but looking for somebody, even in a dating relationship, who will help you be more of who you are, and that you can help be more of who they already are, not to change an individual.
Absolutely. And I can speak from personal experience. Sister Karen, I've, over the, you know, 10 years that I've had this, 19 years I've been broadcasting Divine Experience, I've shared my testimony with the listeners, and, you know, I have on numerous occasions tried the whole missionary dating piece, you know, different guy, different faith, same situation, kind of the definition of dancing with insanity, if you will. But I do know from personal experience, it does not work. And that is whether you're, again, 21 or 61. It just, and it's, it avails nothing but frustration. And then, spiritually what it does is it drains you because your resources are not being channeled properly. And not that you can't pray for individuals that they would, or maybe sure. connect them with a mentor if they're willing, but you should not be trying to get involved in any type of romantic relationship or opposite sex companionship with someone who is just, in a different space from you. And I think that's so important. It's better to wait.
True, because resentment will pop up with, if yes. if the person even goes along with you, there will be some resentment that will show up. And I don't talk as an expert. I just talk as a person, as a woman who's kind of lived through that, even in dating. Didn't work for me, okay? I'm just saying.
Right. And you're absolutely right. Resentment, there'll often be deception in those cases. They might say they're going to do such and such and may even go along with it for a while, maybe even until marriage. And then, the behavior reverts, right? So it's just important that you mm-hmm. see a person, voluntarily and willingly, being involved in worship and fellowship and ministry, making that a core area, core principle of his or her life before you get, emotionally involved or attached. So let's talk about some resources or support that you can suggest for a married couple struggling with communication, compatibility, commitment, cohesion, especially during these times of COVID-19. We spoke about last week, there are many marriages that were already just basically on the, brink of termination anyway, and what they were kind of doing was teetering along, just getting by because everybody can get out and do their own thing and not have to deal with it. Well, now since COVID-19 has come, they're in a place where they've got to address it if they want the marriage to survive. And so what would you suggest are, some methods and ways that they could go about rebuilding and reforming, a healthy marital base?
Okay. Well, let's see now. And you're also talking to a person who's child is grown and gone, so I think I better add that to it because children are a whole other layer of more communications. But I don't know. I think for me, what is helpful is I respect my husband in that he is working from home and I do my community work and also my side business at home, but I try to give him some space, and I don't care how big or how small your house is, I guarantee you there is a corner that everybody, you have enough corners in your house that everybody can go to and give the others oxygen, and I think that is so important. You can't yeah. just be cooped up and looking at people when you're already when you already have enough on your plate. Sometimes you need a moment. And I'm serious. This is going to sound just corny, but if the bathroom is the only place, go in the bathroom, lock the door, and don't come out until you have your sanity. So I think that personal space has been helpful for us. And another thing is we've kind of done this, I guess this organically, it works for our quirky household, but we know that about 8 o'clock at night, we're both going to want to watch TV. So we know that's going to be the time when we really are going to get together and continue the night with each other. And in between those times, like all day long, if we get lunch together, I count that as a win. And if we don't, I count that as normal, because normally he wouldn't be home.
Wow.
I also think that reading is good. Like, this is a time, I think our pastor called this like a winter season. It's a time to plan. So maybe instead of me wanting all the attention of my husband who is working from home, it's time for me to look at me, look inward, and think, okay, while he's doing that, what are some things that I can get better with or I want to learn? So then I'm just trying to gobble up YouTube videos. I'm trying to read other books on marriage and also Bible studies. There are some marriage Bible studies on the Bible app, the YouVerse, and I definitely use those. I've also read many books on marriage. I've listed those, some of them. But one of the really good ones we did through our marriage ministry at church, and it's called The 7-Minute Marriage. And basically it's just saying that anything that come your way, you can really solve it through concise communication, not harping on it and harping on it until we're both ready to snap. And I think that's helped me, because as you can tell, I am a talker. And another book I got on my Kindle. So, yes, I mean, you can download books that maybe you don't want to go to the store right now. You can download them. And so I have a book on my Kindle, and it's literally by Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and it's called The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands.
I have that book. Yes.
Do you have that? Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, a guy, David, recommended that I read that when I was dating him, and I was like, are you serious? And he said, yeah, I think it's a great book. So it's very insightful, very helpful.
Yeah. It is. And I think it helps to bring about the understanding. Well, all of any book on marriage you read, basically it tells you that women are, we what we value the most is security, and what men value the most is being adored, being honored. So if we can remember that, usually we get upset with somebody in a closed space because we want to be secure. We want to know that everything is all right. And it's okay to be that way, because for the most part, we females are naturally that way. We want to make sure the bills are paid on time. We want the trash to go out. And all this is about security. Secure from germs, secure from losing any electricity or water or anything like that. But for the men, they tend to want you to trust them, to let them know that you believe that they have it taken care of. So with my husband, he lets me know a reminder is a reminder, but if I say it a few times, that no longer is a friendly reminder. That is, in his ears, too much.
Right.
So maybe that'll help somebody too, but that's how it goes in my house. And those are some of the resources and the tactics.
Yes, I fully agree with you. I think an understanding of the differences between men and women, between us and between male counterparts or our husbands, or, you know, it's so essential that we understand and regard that, because God designed us different, you know, male and female from, you know, creation. We are a part of creation and made differently, though both in his image. Mm-hmm. So, you know, understanding how that fits together. And I love, you know, what you brought in about flexibility, just in general in a marriage, or, you know, in that type of relationship with another person, but particularly in these types of circumstances, right? Because what I have noticed, you know, about you, Sister Karen, and the time that I've known you, you have a very light spirit. And, you know, that it really does speak to me. And by that, I mean, and I deal with it, I've dealt with, you know, extreme anxiety in my life and some neurotic tendencies and just a sense of, an inclination to catastrophize, just kind of, I'm kind of just like my son describes it, you know, Mom, you're just so intense all the time. And that has been a downfall and a drawback in my relationships with the opposite sex, because men don't like a lot of over the top. They can't, that's not something that they work well with, typically, most men.
Just a question for you. So were you over the top because you were looking for security? Just curious.
That was a big part of it, because my choices were not, you know, the best choices in terms of the dating and, you know, kind of in anxiety or desperation about finding the, you know, getting married and finding the right one and making it work. And so it was already very shaky because it wasn't what God wanted me in. And so then on top of that, my intensity and trying to push it, and it was just not. So it was a combination of things, but I definitely never felt secure because there was, you know, nothing really, you know, in it to, you know, to bring about, you know, a sense of stability. But I just like that lightness of the spirit. And I just, you know, hopefully next week we'll have another guest. I'm going to specifically speak about self-care and self-care with us as women, because a lot of times, like you said, if we don't get that space of whether it's the bathroom or whatever in the house where we are just alone with God and we can saturate and soak up, you know, some renewal and, you know, revival and you know, that kind of, you know, love that we receive from Him, then we're not balanced. And we're not balanced, yes, especially if you're in a marriage, that can, you know, again, create some serious conflict and tension there. And I would definitely say,
and
again,
if your
a marriage
kids are old enough, I'm sorry. I just want to say, if your kids are old enough, teach them to respect that you need some alone time. Now, you know, don't forget about the kiddies, but, you know, teach them that sometimes I need a moment and that it's okay for them to need a moment.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm glad that you said that, because it's going to segue into another one of our questions to talk about if you're in a marital situation and you have children, which, like you said, is another layer, and to understand how you, you know, prioritize the health of that marriage for the sake of the children and so that they can see and honor and respect that marriage and Mom and Dad's time, and it actually helps them to be healthier, which we'll get to that in a moment. I'm glad that you brought that up. But I want to say, you know, we at FBC, and I still say we, even though I'm back here in Memphis, because that's still by home church, we are a praying people, you know. We get, you know, Sister Tiffany and Sister Taffney and the whole, you know, the prayer ministry and how, you know, that's kind of the umbrella that kind of encompasses all the other ministries and our worship platform, if you will. I want to, and you've given, you know, you share with me, I know, two testimonies in particular of women who, you know, previously been divorced and now remarried, and the Lord has just, you know, exponentially blessed them in their current marriages. And just, you know, a couple of stories, a story or two that you could share about, you know, how you've seen the Lord move and work miraculously in a marriage, or in marriages, and how that's just really reinforcing, you know, with God, all things are possible.
Right. Well, I have seen it in our marriage, and I've seen it in other marriages. True. I would say the story I feel most comfortable telling is about when we were dating. And we did have, like, spirituality as far as we were both Christians, but we're also both young, very young. And so we had a baby before we each finished college in our own respective places. And then after the baby was born, there was a lot of hurt and a lot of resentment and miscommunication to the point that we canceled getting married, and which was very painful for both of us. But then college, and he was, as I was back in college, we would ride back and forth to my parents' house to where our son was, because I knew I had to finish college at that point. I had to provide, here we go, the security thing again, I had to provide for our son, mm-hmm. if it were just me. And by the way, it wasn't just me. My husband now, my boyfriend, well, my ex-boyfriend then, that sounds funny, he wasn't going to let our son do without. But I had to know that I could provide for our son. So I went back to college, and as we would ride back and forth together to my parents' house, because I didn't want my dad to really be alone with him at that point. I just wasn't quite so sure how that was all going to play out. But on those rides back and forth, we started talking more, and we discovered that there were some miscommunications happening as to why we broke up in the first place. I found that in a Christian relationship, when you do things outside of God and you do things that are not prayerful, then there are consequences. And I think those hurts and miscommunications that we experienced were not just the normal ones, but were born out of a result of planting a sinful seed, which is sex outside of the marriage. And I know a lot of listeners would think that that's just nothing, but I do believe that if you take the Bible in its entirety, you'll see that God wanted sex for the marriage, not so that he could tell us what to do and what not to do and be a God of the thou shall not. But I think he knows that we bond with people that we're intimate with, and then when those relationships don't last, it like rips at our very soul, and I think God doesn't want that for us.
Absolutely.
So, but wow. Anyway, that's kind of, but we got back together, and to me that was
yes.
Beautiful, because I was done. I was D-O-N, not D-O-N-E, I was done.
Right.
And I think
you know,
it's
a beautiful love story. Yeah, it's a beautiful love story about restoration and reconciliation. And I think, you know, we are all human, as you said, so we all have flaws. We all, you know, miss the mark, you know, in terms of, you know, the Lord's perfect will for us. But, you know, he can bring us back around to where he wants us to be, and, you know, in fellowship with him, if we're humble and we're willing to submit and surrender and repent and get back on the right track, which is what you and your husband were willing to do. And I think it just goes back to that foundation, right? I mean, he was
mm-hmm.
a man of God, you were a woman of God, and you had, you know, some of those core elements there. I mean, oftentimes when we're young, as you said, you know, things can get a little sidetracked. But if you've got, you know, the foundation there, someone with your same spiritual DNA, you can bring it back around. I think a big part of what hurts people who continue to have ongoing issues, and I can say this from, you know, again, from personal experience, is sort of the, you know, reaching and grabbing for something that there really is, you know, no foundation, no basis there for, you know, for anything. And again, you know, the Lord can turn anything around, but you find yourself continually frustrated and flustered, and why is this not? Well, it's because that individual never had the same spiritual DNA. So it's like, and they're willing to, submit or get into a right, relationship with the Lord in terms of being on track spiritually. So I'm just glad that you I appreciate your transparency and sharing that, because I do think that speaks to a lot of people who may see you and your husband or other couples. Both of my sisters are married and have been in marriages for several years, beautiful, wonderful marriages, but it's not a cakewalk. It takes patience. It takes those fruits of the Spirit, right? And it takes a daily. You can't just give up and say, okay, I'm going to be trifling today because I feel like being trifling. You can't just have that kind of mindset of it's all about me. You have to be willing to self-sacrifice, and there's just a lot that goes into it. But when it is, when the two are both willing, to come together and be on one accord and in unison with God, it's a beautiful tapestry. So I would like to go into, and we talked a little bit already about the children, if you have children.
Before you move from children, can I just interject a couple of other quick things?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yes, you talked about having a foundation of reconciliation, and I would say, of course, that is so much easier to say than to do, because it takes some submission on the part of both people. It takes some eating humble pie, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, because we had to eat big humble pie on the front end of our relationship, then that lets you know when something else goes awry in the relationship or some disagreement or miscommunication, that then because you overcame the first time, it lets you believe that you can overcome it again and again and again. So that's my first point. And my second point is I just wanted to interject that, yes, we got to have the same spiritual DNA, but also there are lots of Christians. Let's say I'm a Christian and there are lots of Christian men, and let's say I'm single. Well, we might have the same DNA, but you also want to have complementary personalities, and that's what I wanted to interject.
Ooh. Wow.
A Christian isn't enough. It is not. I mean, it's mostly enough, but there's that other couple of percent that better be there too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a golden nugget. Compatibility is huge. And if you see that you're constantly, in friction with someone, no matter how much you may, think he looks good or whatever, or like his family or whatever the case may be, or he's in a great career.
Yes.
There's not peace there if you don't see that there's a peaceful contact, then that's going to, all it's going to do is fester, and then it's going to be magnified as time goes on, and like you said, the resentment and such. So that's so important to make sure compatibility wise and those compatibility tests and things with a Christian counselor are really, really good. I know we have one of our ministers at the church who is a Prepare and Rich premarital counseling facilitator, and these are Christian programs that you can go through as well. So talking about children, you and I both reared sons, and I as a single parent, and you obviously in a marriage, and but just as a single parent, although, I will say this, it is more difficult in the sense of, you don't have, in my family, you know, my immediate family, my dad is basically the surrogate father for my son because his dad was absentee, or, you know, and my son is the only grandchild on this side. My sisters don't have children. So he's spoiled to death in one sense, but it also, because of the single mother situation I was in, you know, the support was definitely there and even extended family-wise. So, you know, he's 20 now, he's in college, and he's, you know, working, and praise the Lord for all of that. You know, and wants things God's way. But it's also, it could also be a challenge. And obviously, you know, having, you know, two together in a household, husband and wife, definitely a big benefit. Plus, in God's, you know, design, his ideal design for us. But it can also be a little bit of a challenge sometimes, right? Because you may not always agree, and you have to come to an agreement on some child rearing pieces or what you may or may not want. Again, you have to communicate, you have to talk, you have to be willing to listen and hear, right?
Yes. Ooh, I have a story for you, and I will just shrink that story down a lot. But when Joel was little, I think he was in, I don't know, second grade, maybe third grade. He was in third grade. He had a habit of saying, he had just started, not a long habit, because he would not have lived long probably in our house, our crazy household, but he had this habit, starting this habit of going, "I hate you." And, you know, I'm old school. I'm like, what? We don't hate in our household. But anyway, he decided to change that and still get it in by saying, "I'm not your son." So I had asked him to do something, and he didn't want to, and I got on him, and so he said, "I am not your son." And he was getting ready to go to bed, so you can just imagine. He had on his little underoo juvenile underwear, right, with the superheroes on at that time. And just as I was going to respond to him, my husband came home, and he came up to the kitchen from downstairs. And I didn't realize he was home, and he says, "Honey, I got this." And I said, "I can handle it." He said, "I got this." He said, "I heard what he said to you." And what he said to you is he's trying to assert his alpha maleness. And I'm like, "But honey," he says, "what, you only have a sister. You have a sister, not only have a sister, but you haven't come across this because my husband grew up with brothers, and he saw more on that line." So he tells Joel, and this is true story, you can't make this stuff up. He tells Joel, "Okay, you're not our son, so get out of our house." Well, say it was winter. It was January in East Tennessee, higher elevation. So he opens the door. Joel stomps out the door. He locks the door behind Joel. And I'm looking at him like, "You are crazy, man. I would not do that. That's my kid. Plus, I taught in that school district, and I'm going to lose my job." And my kid's outside in his little underoos in January on the front porch stoop. So Joel is slamming on the door, just beating on the door, going, "I'm not your son," in his angriest voice. And I'm looking at my husband. He says, "Nope." Designs off dishes by now. And then I hear him go, "I'm not your son, Daddy. I'm not your son. Daddy, Daddy, I am your son." So I stop washing dishes, and I look at my husband like, "Go get our kid out of the crazy cold." I think it was about 40-something degrees outside that day, or that night. Mm. And so my husband said, he's not repented. He's just cold. So he left him out there another few minutes, and then he opened the door, and Joel comes crying and squeezing his father, going, "I am your son. I am your son." And my husband said to him, "You have disrespected my girlfriend, who is your mother, my wife." And he says, "You will apologize, and you will be glad that you are our child, because our son has a place." and he has a bedroom and he has a family. And he said, but if you're not our son, that's what it feels like not to be our son. So that's the difference in men and women, because I probably would not have handled it that way at all. But my husband did, and our son never looked up to me like that again.
Right. And that is, and it's analogous. It's interesting that you should say that, because I just feel like it's a great analogy, or it's symbolism for our relationship with God, because sometimes due to our own rebellion, God gives us over to what we think we want, right? For a temporary period of time, until we can come to a realization of, you know, God wants us in fellowship with him, and he wants us to be with him, but he knows sometimes we need to experience what it's like to, you know, feel like we're outside because we've chosen to go our own way. And there's a difference between, oh, gosh, I'm sorry just because I'm hurting, versus God, I'm sorry because I hurt you. And the godly sorrow and the godly repentance. And that is a big part of what, you know, in our own way, as the Holy Spirit reveals to us, we need to really reinforce and teach our kids, because going throughout life with this whole, oh, I'm sorry I got caught, is only going to lead to the, you know, the same behavior being repeated. But if there's the godly sorrow and repentance, then, you know, you can turn in a different direction. And so I think that is so clear. My son went through a number of things himself, especially in the middle school years. Oh, my goodness. And I had to, you know, my older cousin, I really had to tap into some of his male wisdom and understanding of what was going on, again, because my son's father was absentee for most of his life. But, you know, my older cousin gave me some great tips. He also spoke with and spent some time with my son, just, you know, guy to guy, just some things, you know, to help sort of bridge some gaps in our relationship. But I do so much appreciate you saying that. It really is key that, you know, family comes together, especially if the two-parent household, or even with the single parent, prayer and, teaching lessons and teaching respect and teaching honor are so important. And the examples that you set in the home, especially a two-parent household, for how you treat each other and respect each other are really important. And so lastly, Sister Karen, before we wrap up here, I know, and I did say I would speak to the singles, can't leave the singles out. I'm a part of that very esteemed group of individuals, but, you know, singles, you know, and even with this whole quarantine and the pandemic and all, especially if you were not maybe in a relationship at all, and maybe going out there to meeting Black Christian, you know, people.com or some of these different websites, and, you know, trying to just, you know, it's the desire for contact and connection, you know, just, oh my gosh, I need to, it could be due to fear, anxiety, or loneliness, whatever, but trying to reach out, make connections. But what advice would you give in terms of encouragement for the single woman or the single man who desires to have a companion, but may feel disenchanted or disheartened because of past failures, either maybe divorce or, you know, broken relationships, or you know, whatever the case may be, to help them just stay positive and, you know, continue to grow in the Lord during this time?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been single, but my advice would be to, number one, be all right with yourself. And most of us are not all right with everything about ourselves. And, I mean, I still work on that. Being married, that doesn't matter. But be all right with yourself, because if you feel that you're already complete, because God fearfully and wonderfully made you, you already are complete. We may have baggage, but you're already complete. You're already enough. And that's the biggest thing with all women. And everything I've ever read or heard, sometimes we don't feel that we're enough. So be all right with yourself. And if you're not, pray and ask God to help you with that. Ask your friends, your closest, not just anybody, but your closest friends, maybe a sister or your mother, if you still have her. What's good about you, and focus and concentrate on it. I mean, put scripture on your bathroom mirror or on your cell phone, whatever tells you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you don't have to have a spouse, but you may want to have a spouse or you may want to have companions. And I would say, do not give up on those relationships, but don't settle for junk. God didn't make you to be junk. Don't you take in any junk. And again, don't you missionary date like we talked about before. And during this pandemic, just as a social release, I mean, I call a lot of people. And also go walking with friends. Now, we don't walk close, and we have to talk a little louder, so our conversations are probably less intimate on those walks. But you can walk or jog together. Just keep your distance. You don't have to be holed up in the house. Sunshine.
Right.
Get your walk on. Plus, that's gonna generate endorphins, and that's gonna help you to feel better about this current situation too. It's gonna improve your health. And again, just continue to be all right with yourself and work on things that will make you an even better self. And don't compare yourself to other people. Please don't do that. I'm telling myself that now. Don't compare myself to other people that I think are successful in relationships, successful in careers, successful at being Miss Susie Homemaker or the best child rearer in the world, the Kool-Aid mom.
Right.
You know, God made me to be who I am, and he's made them to be who they are. So just be the best at what you are. That's my advice.
Amen. I'm so glad that you talked about, you know, the self-acceptance and understanding whose we are in Christ Jesus. You know, everyone has their, quote-unquote, thorn in the flesh that they deal with, whatever that thing is that is just, you know, more of a challenge for them than it is for other people.
Yeah.
For me, it has been, you know, my anxiety and, you know, self-esteem issues. I've had, you know, eating disorder that I've struggled. It's just been, you know, that mental health has been a challenge for me. Is it ironically, you know, I'm a counselor, a therapist, and work with children and have for 20 plus years, and though I was called into it, I still struggle with that. So, and if you're in a place where you feel like that you have, all of us have different needs, and the Lord can meet us where we are. So if you need a Christian counselor, a Christian therapist, I have a marvelous Christian therapist, specializes in working with women who've had trauma or who have, you know, some, you know, mental issues, you know, pray about. I was led by the Lord to this particular individual. Also, essential oils. Lavender has helped me, you know, and, you know, that infusing that within, you know, my home and my space and, you know, at night and calming music, sleep apps. We have on our GroupMe and one of the a prayer warriors shared some Saul Dadi, What Is Real music. I've fallen asleep to that. Getting the exercise, getting the air during the walking, I do all of that. It's very, very important because I have, you know, a challenge with that more so than a lot of other people that I pay particular close attention to what enters my space. So I don't, you know, I'm very careful, extremely careful because I can, again, I'm really intense. So, and that's why for me, I've completely cut out all, you know, relationships, opposite sex until, you know, I really see and hear and know it's the Holy Spirit bringing you know, that man mm-hmm. of God into my space, and it's totally him, because I know I don't deal well, you know, with other stuff, like a bunch of external stuff going on. So I'm just glad that you shared that we have to work on us. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think it would be wrong for you to have male friendships, but I think to take them into a romantic realm, that does change everything. But to just cut it all off, you may be cutting off a lot of what would help to raise you up, help to build your self-esteem, because a male friend could be honest with you and see things from a different perspective, as my husband did with my son. I'm just throwing that out.
You're absolutely right. Being open to, and I did mean specifically as far as dating relationships, but I'm definitely open, and actually that has been my prayer, Sister Karen, for a gentleman friend, truly just a friend, someone who, you know, cares about me as a man of God and is going to, you know, respect me and respect the boundaries. I prayed about, you know, the Lord bringing that into my space when I'm ready to receive it. Uh-huh. So, I thank you again for sharing that with me as well, because I think that is very important that we know how to relate to the opposite sex. And if you've always had a pattern of, you know, self-destructive behavior or, you know, negative outcomes to relationships with the opposite sex, a good friend of the opposite sex can be just what you need to bring you back around to a positive mindset. So, thank you so much.
We started out just being friends. We started off being friends. I had a boyfriend.
Right.
Well, you see how this landed. So I'm just saying there are possibilities there, Shay. Don't, you know, make sure you keep them all open. And I also wanted to interject that sometimes some of the issues, or I called it baggage before, that we endure, sometimes we get in because they could be generational. And I'm going to call those do loops. Like we get stuck in something. It's like it's Groundhog Day. And we keep repeating bad behaviors because maybe we grew up seeing mama with the same behaviors and mama saw grandmama with the same behaviors. And so they look perfectly normal to us, but they're not of God, or they are not productive. And so we have to recognize those, pray and ask God to help us recognize those too as we build ourselves up as married or single.
Absolutely, yeah, patterns, generational cycles, we need to break those by crying out to the Lord to show us what we need to see.
Yes.
I appreciate you so much being on the show, Sister Karen, and we're going to have a quick prayer for all of our listeners out there. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much for your love and grace and mercy that just covers us and provides for us each and every day. Lord, we come before you humbly asking that you would show us what we need to see, whether single or married, in terms of our relationship with you or relationships with others. Lord, right now I pray for those married couples or those who are listening who may be married, that you would first draw them closer to you and closer to each other in your name, that their marriages may be strengthened during this time of crisis. I pray for those who have children that they would be an example to their children and role models that, the next generation will then go forward to have healthy marriages and healthy relationships based upon what they see. We pray that there would be Bible studies in the home and worship in the home and, you know, during this time, Lord. We pray for singles to be encouraged and to focus on themselves during this time and how, you know, they're communicating with you, Lord, so that they can grow and be ready in the time that you designate and ordain for them to be connected or united with the one to whom you have called them to be with, if that is your will. So we pray all these things in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Sister Karen. Appreciate it so much. And happy belated Mother's Day. And I'm sure that you are, planning to enjoy time with your husband and with your family. Of course, we all pray this will be over soon, or at least out of the realm that it's in. But in the meantime, we'll just continue moving forward and, being a blessing that we can be for our own families and for others. So I appreciate you again.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy belated Mother's Day to you too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. Have a blessed evening. Bye.